No Commitments by Simon Brett, with Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget as Victoria, and Celia Imrie as Charlotte. Episode 4, Surprise, Surprise.
I'm going to surprise Victoria.
Is that wise, Roger?
What do you mean?
Well, you two have survived nearly 25 years of marriage by the simple expedient of never surprising each other. Call me old-fashioned, but I'm a great believer in the adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
But marriages need surprises.
Not all marriages. For some, it's the last thing they need.
No, because I read this article, Anna, by some woman in one of Victoria's magazines. It was called How to Keep Your Marriage Alive Through the Long, Hard Years.
Oh, and you reckon you and Victoria have reached the long, hard years, do you?
Not particularly. The recent ones don't seem to have been any longer and harder than the ones before. They were all pretty long and hard, actually. But the really significant thing about this article was how it finished up. It finished up by saying, and to be sure your little plan works, why not leave this magazine lying about somewhere where he's sure to see it? And you know, this is the remarkable thing. Victoria had left the magazine lying around exactly where I was sure to see it.
Where is that?
On that coffee table in the sitting room in front of the sofa.
Oh, but that's where she always leaves magazines. All magazines. It's part of the set dressing of your sitting room. I've even heard her refer to it as the magazine table.
Yes, but even so, I think she left it out deliberately for me to see.
It wasn't open at the right page, was it?
No, but you know what Victoria's like about magazines left lying around open in our house. That's almost as bad as leaving the lavatory seat up.
If this magazine wasn't left open, then I can't see why this particular article was any more important than thousands of others which have lain unopened on that magazine table throughout your married life. Why did you really read it, Roger?
Well, there had been a bit of a mix-up at the newsagents. My golf magazine hadn't been delivered.
Ah. Now we get the truth.
Anyway, how I came to read the article doesn't matter. The important point is what was in the article.
This thing about surprises.
Exactly. It said what keeps a marriage alive through the long, hard years is the constant ability of the partners within the marriage to surprise each other.
Ah. Was she talking about sex?
Sorry, Anna. Be a bit quiet. But don't mind. This is my club, after all.
Right. Was the article talking about sex?
Well,
was it recommending introducing new things into your sex life?
I don't think so. It's a thought, though, isn't it?
With Victoria?
No, perhaps not. Anyway, I thought this article talked a lot of sense.
Ah.
I'm going to do it.
Surprise Victoria?
You bet. I've got a massive surprise lined up for her. Ooh. You see, we're coming up for our silver wedding. It'll soon be 25 years since we got married.
I don't think you're going to surprise Victoria with that. She'll remember. She was there at the time, you know.
I know. That's not it. It's how we're celebrating the silver wedding that's going to be the surprise. Mm-hmm. I'm going to whisk Victoria away.
Whisk her away? Wow. Where to? Can I ask?
Prague.
Prague?
It's the capital of the Czech Republic. Used to be the capital of Czechoslovakia, but then the two territories...
I do know where Prague is.
Yes, of course. Victoria's always said she wanted to go to Prague. Anyway, I booked the whole thing myself.
Well done, Roger.
I mean, you may not know, but any holiday arrangements, normally I let Victoria sort it out. Just give her the run of the credit cards and leave her to it.
I did know that, actually. She's often said you're hopeless about making arrangements. You don't shop around for the best deals. If the first person you get on to has got a good telephone manner, they can sell you anything.
Be that as it may. Now, the whole point about a surprise is that the person who's being surprised doesn't know about it.
You know, Roger, I've suddenly realised what a wonderful father you must have been for Emily, Harriet and Benji.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. But why?
Because you have this great skill in explaining simple concepts as to a 5-year-old. I do know what a surprise is.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Anyway, I tell you all this in complete confidence. The children are the only other ones who know about it, and they've been sworn to total secrecy. Mm. Victoria really hasn't a clue that anything's happening.
Well, congratulations if you can keep it that way.
Trouble is, the thing about us going away for a surprise weekend...
Mm. Is that someone has to be in charge back home to see that no harm comes to Emily, Harriet and Benji, am I right?
Yes.
I knew there was no such thing as a free lunch. All right. What's the date?
Ah, there you are.
Yes, sorry to be a bit late, Victoria. I had a drink with Robbie after work.
Right. Well, I must go.
Go? Where to?
Just go.
Sorry, not with you, old thing.
I don't think this will really come as a surprise to you, Roger.
Surprise? No, nothing to do with surprises. Don't know anything about surprises. Don't believe in them, no.
Goodbye.
Goodbye?
Yes, Roger, I'm leaving.
Oh.
No, Vicky, darling, you simply mustn't apologise. It couldn't be more convenient.
I mean, only as a temporary...
Of course, of course. Look, Giselle's off doing this residential thing on helping rehabilitate drug addicts, and I certainly don't need the flat at the moment. I've virtually moved in with Des.
That's still ticking over, is it?
More than ticking over, Vicky. It's firing on all cylinders, eh? How? The whole thing is sheer heaven on a stick.
Good!
It's wonderful when everything turns out right. I'm glad I waited, you know.
Waited?
Waited for the right man to come along. All through my life, I've known that the perfect man for me was somewhere just around the corner. And he took a long time to come around that corner, but I never gave up hope. Never let myself be content with second best.
I thought your entire emotional life had been spent with a series of second bests, or in most cases, third or fourth bests.
Vicky, that's very cruel. I'm not pretending I haven't had other relationships.
I am glad to hear it.
And I may have sometimes deluded myself with some of them into thinking that they were the real thing. But now Des has arrived in my life, I just know he is the one.
And the fact that he's a famous film director with pots of money doesn't have anything to do with it.
No, it doesn't. At least I didn't just accept the first man who ever asked me. If you'd shown a little more discrimination 25 years ago, Vicky, you wouldn't be in your current situation.
Maybe not.
At the time you first met Roger, I could have told you he wasn't the right man for you.
You did tell me, and you haven't stopped telling me since.
It took a hell of a long time for you to realise I was right, though, didn't it?
Well, I...
Anyway, I'm delighted to let you have the flat. This place has been a lot of things over the years, but I think it's the first time it's ever been a woman's refuge.
Oh, that's not why I need it. Roger didn't batter me. If he had battered me, it might have made it easier in a way, given me more justification for walking out on him. I haven't really told you why I did it, have I?
No, but I think I understand.
No?
Call it sisterly intuition, if you like. I know what you're going through. I once went out with a man who bored me to death. Trouble is, he was simply stunning in bed, so it made it very difficult for me to actually...
It's not that Roger bores me. It's more complex than that.
I'm sure it is. Anyway, you can tell me all about it, and I'll just listen. We haven't always been that close as sisters.
No.
But I've always been here for you, you know, Vicky. To hear your troubles. Act as a sounding board, if you like. Not say anything. Just be a sensitive, non-judgmental shoulder for you to cry on.
I don't feel like crying at the moment. I feel strangely numb.
I had that when I broke up with Lawrence. It wasn't that I wasn't hurting inside, but it was as though the shock of him suddenly upping and leaving, and with my CD collection... It simply dried up all my emotions. It was as if my tear ducts had been...
The thing is, I don't dislike Roger. I can't really think of anything to dislike about him.
I could give you a few suggestions.
I feel nothing for him. Like he's someone I might have once passed in the street. Not someone I've spent nearly 25 years with.
I felt exactly the same when I finally dumped Patrick. Who is this person, I asked myself. Did I really share a bed with him for 7 months... It was like he came from a previous existence.
And the children, too, Emily, Harriet and Benji. I thought I loved them all these years, but now they mean nothing to me.
Love can be like that. I often think that love is like a hurricane sweeping through a room. While it's there, it dominates everything. It picks up all your certainties and whirls them around and throws them down and shatters them. And then...
I suddenly thought...
It's like it was never there.
What have I done
Except
with my life?
Except all the debris.
Yes, not Victoria in her own right, but Victoria as part of Victoria and Roger. Or Victoria, Roger and Emily and Harry and Benji.
And with Jean-Pierre.
And I asked myself...
There isn't anyone else involved, is there, Victoria?
Nope.
I didn't think there would be.
Thank you.
I didn't mean because you're not attractive enough for there to be anyone else involved. I only asked for information.
And was it you only asking for information, or are you an emissary from Roger?
Roger has been on the phone, I don't deny it, but I'm not asking you anything I wouldn't be asking off my own bat. I'm trying to find out why you suddenly moved out.
It didn't feel sudden to me. I've been through the whole thinking process about moving out many times before over many years. I mean, look at me. I'm over 50. I've had 3 children and a hysterectomy. I was locked into a marriage from which I was getting no feedback at all. The only surprise is that I didn't walk out years ago.
But it's nothing Roger's done.
How could it be? Roger's never done anything. That's the point about Roger.
He does love you, you know, in his own rather undemonstrative way. He does love you.
Is that another thing Roger told you to say?
No. It was just an observation from someone who has known the two of you for a long time.
Whether it comes from him or from you, it still doesn't mean anything. I don't care whether Roger loves me or not. It's irrelevant.
Are Emily and Harriet and Benji irrelevant, too?
Not irrelevant, just not very relevant. Well, I'm sure they're all right anyway. Someone's looking after them, aren't they?
They miss you.
Ha!
Surely you miss them, too?
No. Perhaps I will at some point. At the moment, I don't even think about them.
So what do you think about?
Me. Being my own person. What do I want to do with my freedom?
What do you want to do with your freedom?
Well, I haven't got the details sorted out yet. I want time to think about it.
Right.
Did Roger ask you to try to persuade me to go back to him?
I wouldn't have agreed if he had.
But you will nonetheless be reporting back to him on the outcome of our conversation.
I'm not particularly expecting an outcome, but I will be talking to Roger, yes. Is there anything you'd like me to say to him?
Yes, there is.
What?
Could you ask him to post me my hairdryer? I forgot it.
Her hairdryer?
Yes, Roger.
Ah.
It doesn't have any particular significance, does it?
What do you mean?
Well, in some marriages, some relationships, certain things have a kind of encoded meaning. A private language which only the couple understand. So, for example, if one of them says, I really fancy a large malt whiskey, that means, I feel like having sex tonight.
Does it? Good heavens. I've often said that to friends of mine. I've said it to the barman here. Come to that. I thought he gave me a funny look. I say, you don't think he thinks I'm one of those...
No, Roger, no. It's just an example. Does the fact that Victoria's asked for her hairdryer have any special significance?
I think it probably means she wants to wash her hair.
Right. Fine.
I'll post it to her, of course.
She said you can ring her if you want to.
That's encouraging.
But she did say she wouldn't have anything of great interest to say to you.
Why not?
Because, she said, and I'm sorry but you did ask, she said you don't mean anything to her.
Ah. That's a bit less encouraging.
And she didn't think you'd have anything of great interest to say to her either.
Why not?
Because you never have in the past.
That's telling it like it is, isn't it?
You asked me not to pull any punches.
No, no, true.
How are the kids coping?
They're fine. They've hardly noticed Victoria's not there. Maybe I should tell her that. Make her feel bad.
In her current mood, it might make her feel good. I mean, prove her point.
Anna, look, you know Victoria, surely. You must have some explanation for what she's done.
I think she stopped for a moment, took a long, objective look at herself, her lifestyle, her circumstances, and decided that she wanted something different. I don't think it'll last forever. And maybe the thought of the silver wedding put extra pressure on her.
Why? I haven't said anything about it. I haven't put any pressure on her.
No, but the thought of 25 years. Maybe it seemed to Victoria that if she was going to make any change, she'd have to do it before then. It gave her a kind of target to aim for, to be away from you before the 25-year anniversary actually happened.
My target's always been for us still to be together when the 25-year anniversary actually happened.
Yes. Well, sorry.
It's all so bizarre. It's not the kind of thing people like me and Victoria do.
Well, perhaps that's one of the points Victoria was making, that you and she are, in fact, different sorts of people.
Perhaps. It's very confusing. And then, of course, there's Prague.
You'll have to cancel.
I can't do that.
Roger, I'm sorry. Victoria's not going to change her mind in a hurry. Maybe eventually you will get back together. I hope you do. But it's going to take a lot of time and patience. There's no chance she's going to suddenly turn round and agree to go to Prague with you the weekend after next.
No, that's not why I can't cancel.
Why then?
Well, this girl at the travel agent who I fixed it up with, she sounded awfully sweet on the phone. I couldn't really let her down.
You're not letting her down. It's nothing personal. Travel agents have holidays cancelled on them all the time, and it's part of the job.
But I still wouldn't like to...
Roger, you had two choices. Either you risk the wrath of this young lady with the sexy telephone manner, or you write off all the money you've already forked out for this holiday.
Yes. Right. I say, Anna, you don't fancy a weekend in Prague, do you?
Charlotte? Oh, God, I'd forgotten you were here, Vicky.
You all right?
No, I'm not bloody all right. Well, can't we have some decent music?
I like Vivaldi.
Listen, whose flat is this?
Oh, very well. I'm sorry if I'm in the way.
No, you're not in the way. I just need some different music, that's all. This is better.
Midnight. Do we have to have that?
Vicky, must I spell out who's...
No, no, sorry. This is your flat, yes. How are things with Des?
Don't talk to me about bloody Des!
I think you've answered my question.
Well, would you have anything to do with a man who, while claiming to be devoted to you, is off screwing some 25-year-old?
No, I don't think I probably would.
Particularly when that 25-year-old turns out to be some brainless bimbo actress who just happens to have got lucky and starred in the only internationally successful British film of the last decade and who has her photograph plastered all over the cover of Hello magazine. Would you have anything to do with a man like that?
No. So, Des has blown you out, has he?
No, he certainly hasn't. I've blown him out.
You confronted him and told him to get lost, did you?
Yes, well, I would have done. In fact, I'm not exactly sure where he is at the moment, but I left a pretty vitriolic message on his answering machine.
Good for you.
Sorry, I didn't offer you a drink. Would you like one?
Please.
There.
Thanks.
So, we're both in the same bloody boat, aren't we?
What?
You and me, on our own.
Well,
both let down by bloody men.
I'm not actually sure that Roger's let me down.
But I thought that was the whole reason why you left the bastard.
Well, yes, in a way. But with Roger, it's not what he has done, it's what he hasn't done. He's not off screwing some bimbo from the cover of Hello magazine.
How do you know?
Because he's Roger.
Oh, right, fair enough. Doesn't change the fact that we're both in the same boat, though, does it?
Well, perhaps different versions of the same boat.
Oh, I see. You're in first class and I'm in bloody steerage.
No, I didn't mean that. But our circumstances aren't the same. I am on my own for the first time in nearly 25 years. That's a big thing for me.
Are you suggesting breaking up with Des isn't a big thing for me?
No, no, no. I'm sure it's a big thing at the moment. But the fact remains that for you, it's just one in a long catalogue of breakups. I mean, your whole life has been a sequence of disastrous relationships.
Whereas yours has demonstrated the benefits of having one relationship and working hard at it. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
In a way, I suppose, yes.
Listen, Vicky, you can't have it both ways. You can't preach to me about the sanctity of marriage at the same time as you're trying to get my sympathy because you married a brain-dead, bone-headed, sexist creep.
Charlotte! I will not tolerate you saying things like that about my husband.
I'm virtually quoting you word for word on the subject.
That is different. I can say that kind of thing about him. You can't.
Oh, I see. But you can criticize and diminish my relationships as much.
Charlotte, I think I had better leave. Thank you very much for the use of your flat, but it is time for me to move on somewhere else.
Back to Bonehead, eh?
No. I'll see if Anna can put me out for a few days.
Hmm. Oh.
Charlotte, it's Roger.
If you want Victoria, she's...
No, it's not Victoria. I wanted to speak to you, Charlotte.
Oh?
I wondered. You wouldn't by any chance fancy a weekend in Prague, would you?
No, of course it's no problem you staying here, Victoria.
I'm sorry. I couldn't stand it any longer. I am not sure which is more irritating. Charlotte all smug when a relationship's going well, or Charlotte all miserable when someone's just dumped her.
Oh, it's a close call, I agree.
Anyway, I'm sorry, but in my current situation, I could not be the usual shoulder for her to cry on.
I wasn't aware you ever had been a shoulder for her to cry on.
That's not the point.
Right.
Have you heard anything from Roger?
Not since I had lunch with him, no. He's still completely mystified as to why you upped and left.
Isn't that typical? He hasn't even got the imagination to work it out. Nearly 25 years together and Roger still behaves as if I'm something that came with the house, like a piece of soft furnishing.
Yes. When I was talking to him, I did ask if he thought the silver wedding had anything to do with it.
I bet he didn't think it did.
No, he didn't.
Why should he? Roger hasn't even realised it's going to be our silver wedding.
What? Victoria, are you telling me the only reason you've made this extreme gesture is because you think Roger's forgotten about your silver wedding?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Anna, I'm not a child. My moving out was a deeply considered statement, a need within me to be my own person. The culmination of many years of feeling my individuality being slowly eroded by marriage. You don't for one single moment imagine that a tiny detail like whether or not my husband had remembered a wedding anniversary is the kind of thing that would make me behave like that.
Well, I...
Even if it was a rather special wedding anniversary. And Roger wasn't even aware of it. 25 years I've devoted to that man with the absolute minimum of feedback. And I swear he hasn't noticed. He just didn't know the silver wedding was going to happen. You'd think most men would make some kind of gesture of celebration. Suggest going out for a meal, even a modest meal.
Victoria,
Roger didn't even go.
Victoria, will you listen to me?
What?
You have got it all wrong. So wrong. You have completely misjudged Roger.
Have I?
Yes. You think he's forgotten your... Will you excuse me a minute? Hello?
Anna, it's me, Roger.
Oh, that's very good timing.
I gather that Victoria's staying with you.
Yes, she is.
Look, I need to talk to her about Prague.
Thank God for that. I'll pass you over. Victoria, it's Roger. He has something important to tell you.
Oh, really? Hello, Roger.
Victoria, it's me.
Yes, I know. That's why I called you Roger.
Ah. Listen, I'm taking Charlotte to Prague next weekend, and I...
What?
Hello, love.
Roger, darling, how's your day been?
Not too bad.
Well, it's all sorted.
What is?
Prague.
But Prague was all sorted anyway. I'd sorted it.
Well, it's all better sorted now.
Ah.
I spoke to the girl at the travel agent.
She's rather nice, isn't she?
Very uppity little miss, I thought.
Oh.
Kept going on, oh, Mr. Franklin said this and Mr. Franklin said that, and I said, I don't care, you're dealing with Mrs. Franklin now, and you won't get anywhere by cooing winsomely down the phone at me.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I've changed the hotel.
What?
The one she fobbed you off with was way out of the centre. Now, we're just off Wenceslas Square, but not that far from the Charles Bridge.
Right.
And I changed the flight.
Why did you do that?
The flight out was too late. Now, we're catching an earlier one, and we'll get another half-day sightseeing. And I have sorted out the kids.
But the kids were all sorted out. I persuaded Anna
to... Roger, what you didn't know was that Emily had arranged to have a party on that Saturday night.
Well, she'd be much happier with us out of the way, then.
Well, she might be much happier. I certainly would not. The party has been cancelled.
Oh.
And then Harriet needs taking to her grade 4 clarinet exam.
Oh.
And Benji's playing in an away match, after which three of his friends are coming for the weekend, and I promised to take them out for a pizza.
So, are you telling me you've actually changed the date of our trip as well?
No, Roger, of course I haven't. That weekend is our silver wedding anniversary. If we wanted to change the date, we should have thought about it 25 years ago. No, I've simply made the necessary arrangements, sorted things out.
Fine. Well done. You like a drink?
Yeah, please. Roger, will you promise me one thing?
What's that?
Never try to surprise me again.
All right, if you insist.
Thanks. Yeah.
I mean, when I think how near I came to not even knowing about the plans you made. Why did you finally tell me about it, by the way?
When I was planning to go with Charlotte and not you, it didn't need to be a surprise anymore, so that meant I was free to ring you to ask, well...
To ask me to help sort out the arrangements for you?
Yes.
Roger, you are so hopeless. I swear, if you were trying to set up a dirty weekend with your mistress, you'd ask me to make the arrangements.
What makes you think I've got a mistress?
I don't think you've got a mistress.
Oh, good.
You haven't got the imagination to have a mistress.
Ah.
In fact, you haven't got any imagination at all, have you, Roger?
I think I've got a bit.
And that is one of the reasons why I love you so much.
Oh. So, that magazine article...
Magazine article?
That one about surprises, how to keep your marriage alive through the long, hard years.
Roger, I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, those magazines on the magazine table.
Yes, I never read any of those.
So what are they there for?
They're there to complement the books on the shelves and the pictures on the walls and the choice of CDs in the CD rack. They're there to show people who come into this house that while we are a family of literate and artistic tastes, we aren't elitist or snobbish about popular culture.
You think of everything, don't you, Victoria?
Of course I do, darling. What would you do without me?
I've often wondered...
Men are such bastards.
They can be, Charlotte, I agree.
They make promises to you. They build up your hopes. They say they'll do all kinds of things, and when it comes to it, they always let you down.
It must seem that way to you at the moment.
Of course it seems that way at the moment.
But you will feel better about it in time. In a few months, you'll have forgotten all about Des.
Des? Who's anything about Des? Oh, no, I'm talking about bloody Roger.
Oh.
Bastard invited me to Prague, didn't he? Well, now he's out there with Victoria.
She is his wife. They are celebrating their silver wedding.
But he invited me.
That was a misunderstanding. Victoria hadn't realised.
I don't care whether it was a misunderstanding or not. He asked me, and I agreed. And he went back on his word. Just because of some feeble excuse about a silver wedding, that bastard Roger let me down. I don't care whether Victoria has put in her 25 years or not. I don't care whether she deserves a long service medal for gallantry in the face of appalling odds. The point is that Roger should have honored his agreement to me.
In episode 4 of No Commitments, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget played Victoria, Celia Imrie, Charlotte, and Bill Nye, Roger. Music was composed by Elizabeth Parker. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Maria Esposito.